And I'm not going to introduce Gaylene. I'm going to let her do that. And she's going to share a bit about her life there in Cuba and updates and so on. And she's going to bring a message to us. But I want to pray for you.
Thank you.
Heavenly Father, we are indeed on mission together. We're in mission here in Abbotsford. Gaylene is in mission in Cuba, but we're in it together. And we love one another, and we pray for one another, and we support one another. And so I just want to lift Gaylene before you today. I want to pray, Lord, for your blessing to rest upon her. We are so thankful that we get to hear from her today, hear her heart. And so, Lord God Almighty, would you give us open hearts to hear the message, ears to hear what the Spirit would say to our church today through your servant who we love, Gaylene Warden. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, church family. The first thing that I want to do with you is to show you a few of the things that have been happening in my ministry. So we'll have a little bit of a slide, slides that I'm going to be sharing with you. So once that first slide is up, I will get going. Okay, great. As I look back on my ministry on the island in the Caribbean these past 2 years, I am grateful for what the Lord has done through us. Thank you, Seven Oaks Alliance Church, for being on mission together with me. Through your prayers, financial support, and participation on site, which you have done many times, the Lord has helped us build a women's ministry in the Alliance churches on the island. Your gifts and have made and will continue to make a difference in God's kingdom across the ocean, across the nation, and across the street, right here in this community. Have you ever wondered why your prayers make a difference? Well, Mark Buchanan, I've shared this definition with you before. He says, the prayer is the opportunity to participate in the global, sweeping kingdom purposes of God. I'd like to add our alliance focus to this statement. We are on mission together, united in a 5S movement that starts in Canada and reaches around the world. Let's forget about the mindset of them over there and us here in Abbotsford. Let's understand more fully, church family, that we are better together through our praying, through our giving, through our going. I'd like to share a couple of stories from my ministry these past 2 years across the ocean to show how we together have made a difference. Wounded and scarred are the words that I use to describe the women's leadership team that I have on the island. In February of 2016, I led a workshop for them along with my colleague Michelle Dirksen on life management skills in my ongoing process of training and mentoring them. I would venture to say that most of them had never been asked to list their strengths and their dreams that had come true, nor to write down what dreams they had for the future or what their core values were or their personal mission statement. Michelle and I rejoiced at the response. They rejoiced with what they were learning and applying to their lives. My leader of the team, Lily, sent me a text message saying, "Thank you for the workshop." I returned home very strengthened. Time was spent during the workshop encouraging one another. After each woman listed her personal strengths on a sheet of paper, we went around the table again, and we all gave one more strength or character quality to each person. As each woman listened to what everyone else had to say, she had to add it to her list of strengths without comment and without objection. Many were surprised and encouraged by what others saw in them as their list grew. Some had already listed that strength, so they put a star beside it. Then they were encouraged that what they had listed was confirmed by others. Once again, prayer was an important part of this training event with intercessors on site and here in Canada. Continue to pray for my leadership team as they grow in grace and unity and love and dream and plan together for the National Women's Ministry on the island. And you may wonder if I have ever lost my focus in ministry and in my life. One of the ways to lose focus is through loss in one's life and ministry, and another way is by being sidetracked by worry and fretting. We'll get into that a little bit more in the message I have for this morning. Not long after my return in August of 2015, I said goodbye to the second IW family to leave the island permanently. They and the other couple, the IW couple whom you all, many of you know, Blake and Kathy, were relocated to Mexico City in 2016 after their home assignments. This left me on my own. That was my first loss in these last 2 years. It was hard at times not to have any colleagues present. Communication with them and with my family was a challenge. Very sporadic dial-up internet in my rental home. Anybody remember what dial-up internet was? Yeah. So connecting via Wi-Fi became a possibility, but it involved getting into a car and going to the Wi-Fi hotspot. Cellular data is not an option where I minister. So another one of my losses this past 2 years was to my women's leadership team. Two women left because of crises in their marriages. Two other members asked for hiatus from ministry and the team to deal with family and ministry concerns. At one point, I was down to five, from nine members down to five. In the fall of this last year, my last loss was I lost my focus in my ministry. It occurred when I allowed fretfulness and worry over a Canadian friend who was on the island and her situation there, and it occupied too much of my time and too much of my energy, too much of my mind. I forgot that my main task was my ministry to the National Women. And this occurred, believe it or not, just a few weeks prior to my busiest time of ministry, the pastor's wives retreat, when the team came down from Seven Oaks. Any one of these things that I've shared with you this morning was a threat to me losing my focus where it needed to be. But God showed up in each one of these situations. For the first loss, he provided caring friends on the island to help me through the lonely times of missing my Canadian colleagues. And two women in particular took up the burden of praying for me. And three friends back here in Seven Oaks did the same. I call these women my prayer shield. And as they did battle for me and encouraged me through their prayers. For my other loss on the members of the team that left the leadership team, he provided two new members. Both of these ladies are go-getters, passionate about the women's ministry. We prayed, we waited, and the Lord provided the right women. For my loss of focus, God sent his word to me through two pastors' wives on the island, saying, "Gaylene, don't lose your focus. Keep your eyes on me and the task I have given you. Leave the other stressful situation in my hands." God's intervention and provision in these losses and struggles taught me a valuable lesson about keeping my focus in the right place, on Jesus and what he had called me to do. And today you've heard God's work on the island in the Caribbean and his work in me. You've heard how prayer does make a difference and has made a difference in the lives of my leadership team and in my own personal life. Can we commit once again, church family, to participate in the global sweeping kingdom purposes of God through our prayers? Can we commit to be on mission together through praying, giving, and going both across the ocean, across the nation, and across the street? Thank you so much for your partnership as we are on mission together. And this morning, I'm going to share a little bit more about that, about how we can be on mission. And you can join my leadership, my team of intercessors, of Canadian intercessors. There's a sign-up sheet back in the Welcome Center. So you're welcome to join that team. Put your name and your email address, and I will add you to that list. So this morning, as I share from God's Word, as I thought about our theme of being on mission together as the Alliance, and the Lord brought to my mind the need of keeping our focus in the right place to accomplish this. This fit right into with what he already had showed me, as I've shared with you on the slides. And at that time when I had lost my focus and was fretting over something that was not my main ministry. So as I reflected on how it is, I reflected then on how it's so easy to lose one's focus, and the Lord brought to me, my mind, these verses from Hebrews chapter 12. So I don't know if we have them up on the screen or not, but there they are. The Hebrews chapter 12. And this was I got these from the older version of the NIV, but we'll see. It may not be up there in the older version, but this is what I saw in my older version here. "Therefore, it says, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Now, you notice the writer in the first verse says, "Therefore." Therefore, and I learned, was taught in Bible college, when you see the word therefore, you have to find out what it is there for. Okay, so it usually means that they're concluding something from the previous verses or summarizing something that has been stated before. So this kind of made me think, okay, what came before therefore? And it was the chapter 11. The chapter 11 is the chapter on the heroes of the faith. And as I look back on this, I love that it states in verse 12, we are surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses. Yes, we. Again, the emphasis of together. We're together with these faith heroes. You will agree with me that they weren't perfect heroes. No, just as we are not perfect. And God still uses them and can use us. If you read chapter 11, you'll notice that all of them were on mission together with God and his kingdom purposes. Now, being on mission together is not original with us in the Alliance. It isn't. It's something that God has had it planned all along. And throughout the Old Testament, he involved people, as chapter 11 shows, in his plan of redemption. And when Jesus repeated the plan in the New Testament, you heard this last week, and as Pastor Jamie has mentioned, the fifth value, John 20:21, we are sent ones. As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. Yes, being sent together in unity was also Jesus' prayer for us in John 17:23. He says, I in them and you in me, may they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you have sent me and have loved them even as I have loved you. Jesus reiterates that he was the sent one and he sends us. And I love the dictionary. And so I decided I was going to look up the word mission in the dictionary. And I was blown away by what I read there. This was nothing unusual. I mean, anybody could probably give a definition of mission. But the New Oxford American Dictionary says an important assignment carried out for political, religious, or commercial purposes, typically involving travel. Okay, that's not anything new. But then I went to the Oxford Dictionary of English, and they gave three different kinds of definition, and basically similar to the other one, but they said an important assignment given to a person or group of people involving typically involving travel abroad. Then it mentioned also the vocation or calling of a religious organization, especially a Christian one, to go out into the world and spread its faith. That's in the Oxford Dictionary of English. But then on the bottom of the definitions, they always give the origin of those words. And the origin of the word mission is what blew me away. It comes from the mid-16th century, and in parentheses they say, denoting the sending of the Holy Spirit into the world. Imagine that. But then it gets even better. The Latin word for missio, it says missio, and the root word for missio is mittere. You know what mittere means? Send. Mission is send, is being sent. So that is what we are all about, we are on mission together. As I prepared the message, I asked God to speak to me and to show me what he desired for us to hear in the church here and what to put in practice. And I asked, Lord, Father, what is your desired outcome for me and for Seven Oaks through this message? And I sensed him responding me saying, Gaylene, you cannot, and Seven Oaks family, you cannot be on mission together anywhere unless you keep your eyes on Jesus, my son, and are empowered by the Holy Spirit. Let me rephrase it in this way. We are on mission together, so let us not lose our focus. Yes, the word of God spoke to me as I prepared. Keep your eyes on Jesus to be on mission together. So I looked again at Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And as I did, the words let us jumped out at me. And it fit in with a theme. We're on mission together. Us. Let us, the writer of Hebrews says. And this phrase in my version of the NIV says, is repeated three times, twice in verse 1. So let's look at it again. Verse 1 and 2 says, you see it there, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw everything that hinders, off everything that hinders, and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. So, why did they repeat in this particular translation, let us, three times? I think, and even if it doesn't say let us in some of the versions, the focus is the same thing. It is about us doing this together. The writer of Hebrews wants to make a strong point, so he repeats it. The word us is emphasized again because we're in this together. So the verse 2 says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus. In the Amplified Version, it says, let us focus on Jesus, our eyes on Jesus. And that fits in with our theme today of being on mission together as the sent ones. Mission means sent, remember? And we're on mission together as we're stressing these this month. However, we have two let us phrases in verse 1 that it seems to me these first two let us phrases are important for us to look at and put into practice so that we can focus on our eyes on Jesus as we should and be on mission together across the ocean, across the nation, and across the street. These first two let us in verse 1 remind us what things make us so often lose our focus. They take our eyes off of Jesus. No wonder we cannot be on mission together because we're not taking care of what verse 1 says. Let us look at these let us, okay? The writer of Hebrews is using the imagery of a race in these two verses in the first two verses of chapter 12. The first thing he says, let us throw off. And he says, let us throw off. And there's two things that we need to throw off. Everything that hinders us and the sin that entangles. Let's look at what might hinder us, church family, as we are trying to run this race, trying to focus on Jesus and get the work done, get the mission done. Things that get in the way, they weigh us down, they impede our progress. Like runners, when they're going to race, they come onto the track, but when they're about to race, they take off their jackets and they take off their sweatpants, don't they? And then they're ready to run. So what are some of the things that hinder us as we and take our focus off of Jesus? There are many, but I just want to name a few that I have experienced myself and have seen and others that I have noticed in Scripture with the example of the life of Peter, the Apostle Peter. One of the first things that came to my mind that gets our focus off of Jesus, one of those hindrances is the fear of man. It's, what will they think of me? The fear of man, Proverbs says, the fear of man will prove to be a snare and will take our focus off of Jesus. And so in my experience, I have had to fight with this fear of man as I do ministry. Questions come to my mind. What will so-and-so think? What will people think of me? How will I come across? What will they say about me? And the Apostle Peter did the same thing when he went to Antioch, remember? And he did not eat with the Jews, with the Gentiles, when the Jewish leaders from Jerusalem came. And so Peter was saying, what will these Jewish believers think of me if I eat with the Gentiles here in Antioch? So the fear of man, it's important to fear and reverence the Lord our God and be concerned about what he thinks. And the fear of man veers our focus off of Jesus. And so another thing that hinders us many times and keeps our focus off Jesus is comparisons. And I don't, you've probably heard this, it's nothing new. Comparisons are never good. They're never a good thing. We either come up short comparing ourselves to someone, or we come up haughty if we think we're better than someone else. So they're never good. In my experience, this happened in my early years as a missionary in Venezuela, I began focusing on an older lady missionary, and I wanted to be as well-liked as she was. I wanted to be as good a teacher as she was, and I ended up hurting her by putting her down behind her back, thinking this was going to make me popular with the local people, and it was all because I was comparing myself to her, and it's never a good thing. The Apostle Peter did the same thing at one point he asked Jesus in Matthew 19, he says, Lord, we have left everything to follow you. Look at us. Compared to the other ones, look at us. We have left everything to follow you. And so we need to, the comparisons to those around us is not good. We need to focus on Jesus. He is the only one worth comparing ourselves to. Isn't that correct? Amen. Well, another thing that hinders us in our race and staying focused on Jesus is our past, our sin and our mistakes from the past, and the things from yesterday. It takes our focus off of Jesus, and we keep on looking at ourselves. We need to be, brothers and sisters, we need to be released from shame, from guilt and condemnation by remembering that our past is under the blood of Jesus Christ. And the Apostle Peter did the same thing. He had to do the same thing. After he denied Jesus, he had an encounter with the risen Christ. And it was shame. He probably had lots of shame in his heart. But Jesus reinstated him and said, forget your past, Peter. I have a new plan for you. Keep going. Forget that shame. Another thing that hinders us is our worry. We worry about the future. We're fretting and we're worrying about tomorrow, the unknown, the invisible, and that also takes our focus off of Jesus. And Jesus said in Matthew 6, chapter 6, he said, seek first my kingdom. Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek my righteousness. He says, don't worry about tomorrow. He even says, tomorrow will take care of itself. And so we need to get off that rocking chair of worry. Someone has said, worry is like rocking in a rocking chair. It gives us something to do, but it doesn't get us anywhere. We just rock back and forth and worry, worry, worry. And so why does the enemy put these hindrances, especially of yesterday, the shame, and tomorrow, of worry, in our path? Because his trick, he's trying to trick us into doing what? He's trying to keep us from living today in the present. Because the present, brothers and sisters, is the only place that where we live and can do anything. The present is the only place we can be on mission together and can fulfill God's kingdom purposes. We can only seek his kingdom in the present. We can only seek his righteousness in the present, today, where we are now. We are hindered if we fret about the past or worry about the future. So that is a trick that the enemy uses on us all the time. Another thing that hinders us many times in our keeping our focus on Jesus are what I call little foxes. The Bible states it in Song of Songs 20:15. It says, the little foxes ruin the vineyards. And I think we all know what little foxes are, don't we? Little foxes are little insignificant irritations of life that we don't deal with. They steal our joy. They sidetrack us. They take our focus off of Jesus. We become irritated. We start complaining about little things. We become picayunish. That I couldn't find it in the dictionary, but that's a word that I think I've heard. Picayunish. We become picayunish about the small things that don't matter for eternity. And, you know, sometimes those little irritating little foxes, it doesn't even matter tomorrow. And maybe sometimes it doesn't even matter an hour from now. But we let the little foxes take our focus off of the main thing. We don't allow the main thing to be the main thing if we look at just the little foxes. So when God, the Lord calls us, when he says we're sent ones, he's pointing to the main thing, brothers and sisters. He's telling us his kingdom purposes is to redeem the world. Keep your eyes on the main thing. Get rid of those little foxes. Don't let those little things keep you from the main thing. Another thing that hinders us many times is circumstances. What we're living through, or even the plans we've made. Sometimes the plans we've made are good plans, we have his plans as sent ones. So what are the circumstances that can surround us that they take our eyes off Jesus? There's storms and waves, and I think Pastor Jamie alluded to this to last week or a couple of weeks ago anyways about the Apostle Peter when he was walking on the water. He was doing fine until he looked at the waves. The disciples, when they were in the boat with Jesus, they started to fear for their lives in the storm, but they forgot that Jesus was in the boat, didn't they? So we look at the storms and the difficulties, and those things are hard. We can't avoid the storms and the waves in our lives, the difficult circumstances, but it's when we most need to look at Jesus. And then how about our plans? That's part of our day-to-day circumstances. We have our agenda, our plans. We make plans, and they're good. We ask the Lord for his direction, and plans are good, but sometimes we are not willing for God to change those plans. And in my own experience, my agenda, my plan for my life, Gaylene Warden, was to continue ministering in Venezuela until my retirement. It was a good plan, but God had a different plan for me. And I left Venezuela in 2009, ended up going to the island in the Caribbean in 2010, where I'm still ministering. God's plans are good plans, even if the plans change, and it's hard to change plans, but it's hard at first, but we need to be willing to do that. And I think of the Apostle Peter as well. In the Mount of Transfiguration, he was up there on the mountain enjoying the glory of the Transfiguration. And he turns to Jesus and he says, Jesus, let's build three shelters here. In other words, let's stay on the mountain. Let's enjoy the glory of this moment. And yet, there was a voice that came from heaven. In Mark 9, it tells us that the voice said, this is my son, listen to him. Suddenly, they looked around. When they looked around, they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus. What does that tell us? Look at Jesus. Don't have your own plans, your own agenda of what is the thing that you should be doing. Then they had to go down the mountain, didn't they? They went down the mountain and faced a real life issue, the young boy with an evil spirit. So God, in speaking to them up on the mountain, says he refocused the disciples and on Jesus. They're looking on to Jesus and listening to him and on the mission that they had before them in the valley. The next thing that the writer of Hebrews says that we need to throw off, those are a few of the things that we need to throw off. And the next thing that the writer says, that we need to throw off the sin that entangles. Throw this off, because sin entangles us in our race and we lose our focus on Jesus. You know, I don't think I need to belabor with any of you this morning this point, because each of us knows what sin or sins entangle us as individuals, right? Everybody can look inside and say, yeah, that one, yeah, yeah, and that one. Right. We can each name the sins that entangle us in our race. But I do want to name one sin that could affect all of us at one time or another and hinder us in our race and keep us from focusing on Jesus. It is a sin of unforgiveness. Matthew 6, 14 and 15 says, if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. And then later on in Matthew, in chapter 18, he talks about, gives the parable of the unmerciful servant. He says that the servant was forgiven a huge debt in the millions. And then he went and did not forgive a fellow servant that owed him pennies. And so the owner or the owner of these servants said, brought him before him, and he said, you are going to pay everything now. And then Jesus says, at the end of that, he says in verse 35, this is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart. Let us get rid of that ourselves of unforgiveness, because it entangles us. It entangles us with the offender. How many of you have seen the TV commercial of the woman who's carrying a load of debt on her back? It's on the TV every so often. And what it is she's hunched over with a burden of this huge man on her back. And to me, that was a great picture. As I reflected on that yesterday, I was thinking, that's a great picture of being burdened by unforgiveness. The offender is hanging onto us, burdening us, entangling us as we seek to run the race. So the writer of Hebrews says, throw off that man, or that person, that offender that is entangling you by you not forgiving them. We need to throw off the sin of unforgiveness. And forgiveness is releasing the offender, the one who sinned against us, to God, our just defender, and saying, I forgive you, and release you into God's hands. Then we're able to focus. We don't have that sin burdening us, entangling us from our running, because we can focus on Jesus. It's that burden is no longer on our back. We can focus on him. We must throw off whatever sin we have in our lives, whatever sins we have in our lives, because sin entangles. Sin impedes our race and our focus. Like I said, each of us know what those sins are in each one of us. So, we have seen in this first, let us, that the writer of Hebrews gives in verse 1, that we can lose our focus by the things that hinder us, like the fear of man, comparisons, shame, worry, little foxes, and circumstances. And we can lose our focus by the sin that easily entangles us. We need to throw these off, the writer says, and focus on Jesus and the mission he has called us to. Now, the second let us, in verse 2, let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. And there's two parts of this let us run with perseverance. And the definition of perseverance is doing something difficult or persistence in doing something difficult despite persistence is doing something despite difficulty or delay in achieving success. And so we need to persevere. He calls us, the Lord calls us to run this race, to be on mission together with him as his sent ones. He wants us to persevere, to persist, despite the difficulty or delay of achieving success. But we cannot persevere or persist without focusing on Jesus. What do we do? How do we do this? What do we do when we look at Jesus? Well, we'll get to this in a minute. Because the second part of that phrase is, let us run with perseverance, the race marked out for us. We are all uniquely created by God. We're given talents and gifts that are uniquely ours. We are all on mission together, and we are sent ones, but we each run the race marked out for us by the Lord. Again, we learn from the Apostle Peter in John 21, after the resurrection, when Jesus reinstates him and gives him his task to feed his sheep, and then tells Peter the kind of death that he would in which he would glorify God, we read the following in John 21, 20 and to 22. Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. When Peter saw him, he asked, "Lord, what about him?" Jesus answered, "If I want him to remain until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me." We need to ask, am I running the race the Lord has marked out for me? In my experience, what I experienced last fall, similar to what Peter experienced, in the situation I was fretting over, I was saying, "What about her, Lord?" The Lord had to remind me to leave that young woman in his hands and that he was her father and he could handle the situation. He could have said the same words to me as he said to Peter. "What is that to you, Galen? You follow me." However, his words to me through my two friends in on the island there were, "Galen, don't lose your focus. Leave the situation to me and focus on the main thing." In the words of this verse, Jesus was telling me to run the race marked out for me and to look to him. So then we come to verse 2 and the third let us, where it says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus. So what do we see when we fix our eyes on Jesus? We fix our eyes on Jesus, in verse 2 and 3 says, fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. What do we see here? We see that he persevered. He persisted despite difficulty. Verse 2 and 3 uses the word endure, which describes what Jesus went through. He went through difficulties, through hardships, through opposition, and lastly, and most importantly, he endured the cross. He endured the pain and the shame of the cross. Endure means to suffer something painful or difficult patiently, and that's what Jesus did. So, brothers and sisters, when we fix our eyes on Jesus, what do we see? We fix our eyes on Jesus because he began the good work in us. The verse says he is the author. He began that work in us. We fix our eyes on Jesus because he will complete the work in us. The verse also says he's the perfecter of the work he began. So he is the author and the perfecter of our faith. He began the work and he will complete the work. We fix our eyes on Jesus because he shows us how to persevere in the race, how to endure hardship, pain, and opposition, which we will all face as we run this race. We fix our eyes on Jesus so that we will not grow weary and lose heart as we run the race marked out for us. Not for my sister, not for my brother, the race marked out for us individually. So in conclusion, what do we need to take from this message this morning? What does the Lord want us to hear? I ask you, brothers and sisters, does your heart long for purpose and direction? Does your heart long for purpose and direction? Do you want to run the race marked out for you? Do you want to make a difference in this world for God? We are all sent ones. We are all on mission together across the ocean, across the nation, across the street. This is the race marked out for us. This is our mission together. But we cannot be on mission together, as I stated earlier in the message, as sent ones. We can't run the race unless we focus on Jesus. Maybe the worship team can come up now and for the closing. You know, in order for us to keep our focus on Jesus, to stay on mission together as his sent ones, to run this race, we must throw off, the writer of Hebrews says, throw off everything that hinders. Throw off the sin that entangles. God maybe has shown to you this morning something that is hindering you, something that is entangling you, a sin that is entangling you. To keep our focus on Jesus and stay on mission together as his sent ones, to run this race, we must persevere and endure. We cannot go across the ocean, across the nation, and across the street in this race marked out for us if we lose our focus on Jesus. What in my life, what in your life is keeping us from focusing on Jesus? What is keeping us from running the race as his sent ones? What is keeping us from being on mission together with him? Are there things that are hindering us? Sins that are entangling us? Are we weary? Are we losing heart in this race marked out for us? Look to Jesus. Focus on Jesus, the writer of Hebrews says. Fix your eyes. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus. He is our only hope, brothers and sisters, if we are going to be on mission together. If we are going to impact the world, this nation, and this city, he is our only hope. We must keep our eyes on him. Do you need to get refocused this morning? Do you need to not only look to Jesus this morning, but do you need to maybe come to the front to pray or meet with the prayer team and confess and just ask God, God, I've lost my focus. And I don't want to be there. I don't want to be there. I want to look to you. Please come. He's waiting for you and for me. He's the author. He began it. He's the perfecter. He will finish it. He's longing to do a deep work in each one of us. So if you have a need this morning to throw off something that's hindering you and entangling you, if you have lost your focus, maybe you're weary, maybe you've lost heart, he longs for each one of us to refocus. So come as the Spirit leads you this morning.